Time check 751. This is Bill Wills. Honored to have former President Jimmy Carter with us on the Newsmaker Hotline. Mr. President, good to have you on. We appreciate your time, sir.
Oh, good morning, Bill. It's good to talk to you and the folks around Cleveland.
Well, and before I forget, you know how moms are. My mom would want me to tell you that she'd still vote for you today, sir.
Well, give her a kiss for me. That's great. Sound like a very wise and judicially important and mom with good political judgment.
The Hornet's Nest, now in paperback. I tell you what, this is a very good read. First of all, a lot was made about you writing fiction. No other president had done that before. We talk about the South and the Revolutionary War, which, you know, I studied in school, and battles in the South didn't come up much, sir.
Well, the books were written by people from around Boston mostly, and what most even history professors know about is that there were a few skirmishes around Boston, that Paul Revere rode a horse in the middle of the night, and that George Washington crossed the Delaware River in a snowstorm, and maybe that Cornwallis surrendered. That's all they know about the war. As a matter of fact, the war was determined by battles only in the South, coming out of St. Augustine and from New York down around and into Savannah. The British were moving very rapidly up through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, and they would have won the war overwhelmingly had the French not joined us and had the most troops, as a matter of fact, to join George Washington and finally defeated Cornwallis. So it was a war fought and determined in the South.
And as you research this, too, we find again, as we found in the Civil War, families, of course, affected by this so much.
Well, this was the bloodiest and most war that we have ever fought, in that the hatred was more intense because there was no geographical division. Obviously, we did have that in all the other wars, in Vietnam and Korea and Europe and between the North and South in the Civil War. But in the war for independence, the divisions were inside families, where all of us were originally British citizens, and one by one, maybe an older son would say, "I'm going to take up weapons and fight against my own king," and he would soon be fighting against his own father and his own brothers. And there was an intensity of hatred that resulted in the policy of granting no quarter, in that when troops would surrender after they lost a battle, they would not be taken prisoner. They would immediately be executed with a bayonet thrust. So this was how the war was fought. It's a very vivid reminder to us of the horrors of war, but also the importance of that particular war.
You tell the story through many characters, including the Pratts, Kindred, Mavis, Morrison. I was curious, and I went back and reread Christmas at Plains last weekend, which I loved, your biography as well. But so many historical things you've written. This, of course, you looked at history, but then you wrote some fiction into it to tell the story.
Well, the characters in the book really bring the whole history to life. You know, not only Ethan Pratt, who happened to be patterned after my ancestors, but also, for instance, I think Thomas Brown is perhaps the most important character in it as far as excitement is concerned, a British guerrilla fighter that was probably the greatest one that ever lived. He was originally a very meek and timid person, afraid to go out in the woods at night, and he became one of the most ferocious fighters out of Florida and then through Georgia and Carolina that ever lived. Also, there was a woman named Quash Dolly, a black slave, who actually turned out to be the turning point in the entire war, in that she knew a secret passage to bring the British troops into the heart of Savannah, where, by the way, the largest loss of life of any battle in the entire Revolution was fought when the British retook Savannah. So these are the kinds of characters that really bring the book and the history to life.
Now, if you're a fellow history buff like I am, you'll really enjoy this. The Hornet's Nest, again, by former President Jimmy Carter, now in paperback. We've got a minute or two left to politics. We know, of course,
Well, let me say one other
thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bill, that is, I'll be at Joseph Beth bookstore signing books tomorrow, Thursday, at 1 o'clock. So well, maybe some folks would like to come by and see me. Maybe you would, too.
I will. I did not know that, Mr. President. We will make that announcement again. That's tomorrow at 1 o'clock, right, sir?
Yeah, Thursday at 1 o'clock at Joseph Beth Bookstore.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Sure. I will get that plug in. Don't worry.
Good deal.
Now, you obviously, we know where you stand. Let me ask you a couple of things.
Okay.
2000, as it played out, if anything, we see again how the Constitution does work to keep this democracy together. We may need to use it yet again in a couple of weeks.
Well, I hope the Constitution is not strained, as I think it was in 2000 when five Republican judges made what I consider to be an improper decision. But my prayer is that in Ohio, where there's some doubts been raised, as you know, as well as Florida, that people will be assured that their votes will be counted accurately and legitimately, and there won't be any doubt about the election once it's over. That was a very serious setback for our country 4 years ago, and my hope is that the lawsuits that have now been filed will be decided before Election Day, and we'll have a clear result.
Mr. President, also the tone of this election. Every election, you think, man, it can't get worse. It seems like it does all the time. We are far removed from when you ran and called, whether it was Governor Reagan or former President Ford, a distinguished opponent.
That's all I ever called them, or that's all they ever called me. And we would not have dreamed of paying for a television advertisement, a commercial, that would have besmirched the character or integrity of our opponent. That would have been politically suicidal to do that then. Now it's become, as you know, the common thing to do in a congressional race or a governor's race or a Senate race or the presidential race, just to tear down your opponent with lies and distortions of the fact is a way to win elections. It's a very serious, I think, deterioration in the quality of the political life of America.
Finally, Mr. President, I'm always impressed with your knowledge of the Middle East. Are we any closer to peace over there, sir?
No, we've abandoned the peace effort the last 3.5 years. All the previous presidents, back to Eisenhower, had made a genuine effort, including President Clinton and George Bush Sr. And I and President Nixon, all of us, until this administration, and we have now abandoned completely any real effort to bring the two sides together or to have peace for Israel and peace and justice for the Palestinians.
Former President Jimmy Carter, again, the book is The Hornet's Nest. He'll be at Joseph Beth tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and we'll remind you of that again tomorrow morning. Mr. President, thank you. It's an honor, and a belated happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a nice thing to say.
Thank you, sir.
Look forward to seeing you all. Goodbye.